we could have had something good, and now we have that.
Yeah, what do we have? Nothing.
Well,
nothing.
We've got something.
Well, I guess so. Good. Well, we'll call that the opening, and we'll just move on.
Okay, I'm happy with that.
Yay. Hello and welcome to episode 60 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. I am Alan. As always, sitting here in Tübingen, Germany, and with me, as always, I just repeated it again.
Yeah, I was waiting. You got to say something more. I need a lead-in.
Yeah, but I said as always during myself, and then...
yeah, and then you got confused.
I got confused, and then I saw a nickel rolling on the floor, and I got distracted.
It's Adam, as always, Adam from Vancouver.
All right. How's Vancouver?
Great. Actually, we're supposed to get snow tonight, but I haven't seen any yet.
Wah, wah, wah. It was like plus 15 the other day here.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It went from like minus 20 to plus 15 in like a week.
Seems like a recipe for some sort of natural disaster.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. It's Michael Bay's producing it or something. I'm not sure.
All right.
But we're back to, I don't know what it is now. It doesn't matter. Everyone's tuning
in.
I
don't care.
Hey, what was it that day?
How is this pertain to photography advice, tips?
It makes me get out of the house to shoot more.
Okay, that's good.
I don't shoot that much when it's minus 20. Which
not even in your house?
Yeah, but after a while, you keep shooting the same. You keep shooting within a 3-foot circle of your computer.
Right.
Then you're like, all right, well, I've shot that coffee cup enough. Let's move on.
Okay.
I guess, but for people in Winnipeg, when it warms up to minus 20 in the summer, then they get out and shoot. So,
you know, this is just off. Well, it's not a little bit off topic, but speaking of random things to take pictures of, this is how big of a loser I am. Today, I was watching the hockey game, and this is the Vancouver Canucks, of course, and they started this thing at Tim Hortons donut chain. I'm sure world renowned donut chain. Everybody knows about in the rest of the world. But anyways, they started producing a Canucks donut on Canucks game days. It's only on Canucks game days and only at the stores that are within, I don't know, 150 miles of the arena, something crazy like that. Anyway, so they have a Canucks donut. I bought one of these Canucks donuts and I was taking pictures of it.
Really?
Yeah.
What's a Canucks? Okay.
You know, it's a blue and green sprinkled donut. It's got the emblem on it. It's like a Long John, but it's filled with cream. And after trying to take a picture of this for about a minute, I was trying to dress it up with some flashes and stuff. Then I thought, what am I doing? And I just turned the camera off and deleted and thought I would never speak of this.
And here we are.
Now I have to come clean. That's why.
So what is a Canucks donut? Does it taste really awesome until the very last bite and then sour? And then you're so mad you go out and set your car on fire.
Through.
And when you're done, you go outside and flip your car over and set it on fire.
Yeah, something like that.
Good. The new Canucks donut from Tim Hortons. Not a sponsor.
No, not a sponsor at all.
What'd you shoot this week besides the donut embarrassment?
We went to the park, so I haven't taken park pictures in a while, so I did a little bit of that, pictures of the kids at the park. I think one will show up in our photo challenge as the candid photo, but I did a little bit of that, and I think that was it. Not a heavy picture week for me. How about yourself?
Yep. I shot a couple pics at my wife's aunt's birthday party last night, which was really low key.
Okay.
Which is where I got my candid photo for this week's challenge.
Excellent.
I went out and when the weather did warm up, I went out and shot a few street scenes because I haven't been out in a while. Like, I haven't been out walking around Tübingen in a while because of the weather and being in Vancouver. So I thought, oh, I want to go out and shoot some street scenes. But you know when sort of the very end of winter, when the city is just kind of thawing out, how it's all kind of dirty?
Yep.
I don't like that.
Yeah, it's not a pretty time of year.
It's not. It's not spring yet. Because we get a lot more snow here, snow or ice, people tend to put out a lot more sand and gravel and stuff, right? So you don't slip.
Right.
So that's kind of left lying around a little bit. And just, I don't know, I can't wait for spring cleaning. And then when everything sort of brightens up, I'll shoot some more street scenes.
Okay, and give us a ballpark as when to expect that. Is that April? Is that more April or is that late March?
Yeah, probably March, mid-March. Same as whatever Vancouver is.
March is usually pretty nice here.
Yeah, it starts to kind of the flowers start to come out and
definitely.
Yeah, so and then I shot a video for Chris Marquardt as well, which should be up today.
Okay, and what is this video of?
He puts on workshops, photo workshops, and he put one on in Tubing on the weekend.
Okay.
2-day analog film workshop, meaning you go out and learn how to shoot film and learn how to develop it.
Okay.
So he's got a bunch of, I think there's 10 people this time, whatever the sellout is. He sold out and you come out and spend a couple days doing that. It's actually fantastic. It's in German, though.
So the video is kind of just like a little documentary of that, or is it for, like, is he going to distribute this, or what's the purpose of the video?
I'll try to make a fun promo.
Oh, okay.
There's spoiler alert. There's no talking.
It's like the film that won the Academy Awards.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just like that.
Except it's in color. That's the only difference.
Right.
Yeah. And John Goodman put the weight back on.
Yeah. Nice.
He's method like that.
Yeah.
I try to do a visual, like it's short, it's 2 minutes long, because it's hard to make processing film visually interesting.
Right.
A lot of guys standing around pouring chemicals.
Yeah, it sounds like Homer Simpson.
Yeah, exactly. So, so that should show up today. It'll be on his site. He's going to publish it first, and then so check that out. That's what I shot.
Cool.
So in other photo news, Ken bought the D7000.
He did.
Yeah, that's the.
That was the one you were recommending. Is that the upgrade, or is that's the upgraded one? Is it not?
Yeah. First of all, this just to fill people in, that was our friend who had his camera either dropped his camera or had it smashed out of his hand.
Right, combination of the two, I think.
Yeah, and his D40 hit the ground hard and broke it. Now, he had his 30mm Sigma on there, and apparently it survived.
Well, there you go.
So that's
another
good news.
Another ad for the Sigma 30mm.
Yeah. So anyway, so he wanted to replace it. He asked me what he should get. I said stick with Nikon because he already has a couple Nikon lenses. And it came down to choosing between the D3100 or the D7000, which is a lot more money.
And so, can you tell us all about it again?
I'm just going to hit play on the last week's show. We'll sit back and listen to it.
Yeah.
And do like a director's commentary of last week's show.
Yeah, yeah. Really fill us in on all the details from one episode ago.
Why don't you get to the – wait till I get to the very end of my small recap and then toss in a little bon mot there. Perfect. Zing. Anyway, so he ultimately went with the D7000 because, you know, he can afford it, I guess. And it's an awesome camera.
Okay.
He loves it, by the way.
He loves it. Great. Everybody go out and buy that.
Think about it. He enjoys that the really sharp quality pictures is what he said.
Okay.
Really fast and simple to use, too. I think it's a little better, I guess, user interface.
And what are we talking about, a cost?
I don't remember. Over $1,000 for the body only.
Really?
I believe so.
So hopefully he doesn't drop this one.
I think he probably will not drop this one. And he won't let our buddy borrow it or whatever was happening. I don't know how the situation about who was borrowing it or what was happening, but I think he'll hang on to it. He said the autofocus is really good, much faster than the D40.
And I find the same thing about the difference between my previous camera, the Canon XS, and the T2i is the autofocus. And I mean, partly that's the lens too, right? But I seem to find that with any lens, it's faster and it's more accurate.
Yeah. I think they tend to add focus points, like the number of points it uses to determine focus.
True, but I still just use the center point.
There you go. Okay.
So
good to know. And we had another email question clarifying about from last week, a video question.
Right, okay.
Wanting to know how you shoot 720p, even though it's not an option.
Right. And the answer was, I don't remember exactly the context that we were talking about, but I think, and I replied to the person who sent the email, but basically I was, most of the video that I shoot prior to the last month and a half has been with the iPod. So I do shoot 720p with the iPod.
Right.
The T2i only does 1080p, but usually when I export it, so I import the video as 1080p, but I export it back to where I watch it, back to 720p for actually viewing on my TV. So yeah, I don't remember exactly the context we were talking about, and we probably didn't go through exactly, we weren't specific enough, but yeah, the T2i does not shoot in 720p.
I also down-res my home video when I export it. I save it out as 720p just because it's great, saves quite a lot of space.
Yes.
I shoot everything at 1080, edit the pro stuff at 1080, and export that the same. But yeah, home video down res. Your camera does 60 frames per second?
I believe so. I've never used it at 60, but I believe it does 24, 30, and I think 60, although I haven't used it.
Yeah, at 60, that'll drop down to 720p.
Okay.
So that's one of the options that I guess was kind of confusing.
And I might be wrong. It might not shoot in 60, but I'm pretty sure it does.
If it does, then that is awesome.
Okay, I'll have to check. And I'm not sitting right next to my camera. I only used it on the parameters that you suggested that I use. So I haven't done enough fiddling around. So just in case it doesn't do 60, nobody send me an angry email.
I'll check it out. But if it does,
I will check the next time I have my camera in hand.
If it does, you're gonna want to shoot a test something at 60 frames per second, because when we end up putting it into a 24 frames per second timeline,
right?
Do you know what you have?
No.
Slow motion.
Makes sense.
Awesome slow motion. Really? Really, really good looking slow motion, real slow motion versus that choppy sort of iMovie slow motion.
Okay.
Yes, that's
good to know.
That's how we shoot slow motion, to shoot it faster and then play it back at the normal 24 frames. So that's the one thing I really, really wish that the 5D would handle, and it does not. Doesn't do 60. I guess it's just a lot of info because the frames are much larger and blah, blah, blah and all that.
Okay.
But that comes in really handy. So there you go.
I will check it out, and I'm going to reserve comment because I don't know the answer.
This week's challenge pictures.
Okay. What was the challenge again? Remind me.
The color red. And you sent in a black and white photo.
Oh, no.
As did I.
Do I fail?
No, I think I may have gotten the... No, wait a second. I'm reading ahead. This week's challenge pictures, candids.
Candids, right.
I'll tell you what candid's all about after.
Okay.
But I wanted you to get a head start on what you thought candid was.
Okay.
Are
we going to do my picture first or your
picture? Let's do your picture first.
Okay. So my picture.
I call this one Candid Jack.
Candid Jack. Yeah, this is a black and white picture of my son Jack at the park.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically, I try to capture him in a moment where he was unaware of the camera. My understanding of what a candid shot would be is kind of, you know, a person, I was thinking of this in terms of people, but a person doing something that they like to do or something that's really, I don't know, kind of representative of sort of a characteristic of who they are, but be unaware as to the presence of a camera. So capturing a moment that sort of thing that would occur in everyday life, but again, isn't sort of staged and isn't them posing for the picture.
Right. Which is pretty common nowadays.
Common for people to do that?
That people are aware of the camera.
Yes, definitely. Everybody seems to pose all the time.
Yeah. Duck face.
Go to a playground and you'll see this.
Is that right? Even kids doing it?
Oh, everybody. Oh, yeah, kids are, I mean, they're constantly, my kids are so camera aware now that, you know, they're often asking me to pull out the camera to take a picture of them. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Well, I did not know that.
Yeah. They'll be doing something. Oh, Dad, can you get the camera and take a picture? Like they want to have the picture.
Wow, really? Yeah. The one thing I noticed, I guess when I was in Vancouver last or the time before was Sarah at one point had like a little plastic toy cell phone.
Yes.
Like a little flip out thing or something like that, right? Like just.
Yeah.
And I was watching her play with it and she was using it to take pretend pictures.
Oh, definitely.
She wasn't phoning anybody. And I thought, wow, that's crazy. You know? Like.
Yeah.
So I guess that's how camera aware everybody is. So anyways, yeah, Jack is not, doesn't seem to be camera aware. He seems to be very aware of the teeter-totters.
He was loving the teeter-totters. So this is like the old school teeter-totters at a, you know, relatively new playground, but they've got the teeter-totters, which seem to have disappeared from most playgrounds, I'm thinking as a safety issue.
Yeah, I don't see any padding on there or any helmet stand.
No, but so he was loving the teeter-totter, so I grabbed a couple of shots of him. I liked the perspective. I was trying to get him with just really the contrast of he was wearing all black, so his jacket's black, his pants are black, and his hat is black and white on the very contrast of the background, so the sky and behind him. So I liked this picture. I mean, it was a very overcast day anyway, so those clouds are, I mean, they're white and grayish. There isn't much color to the sky where I'm taking this, but I like the contrast of the black on the white, which is why I preferred it in black and white as opposed to the color.
Looks, yeah, I agree. I haven't seen the color, but I'm gonna tell you I like the black and white better too.
Yeah.
My only nitpick would be, it would be nice if all that clutter wasn't in the background.
I agree, but that's partly the playground.
What are you going to do? Yeah. There could be an opportunity for you to get a little bit lower and shoot higher. I don't know. Depends how high he goes.
Yeah, I was on the teeter-totter.
Oh, you're the ballast.
Yeah, he could, and that was that exactly. So my wife and my daughter were elsewhere on the playground. So I agree. I would have liked to have done exactly that, but I needed another participant.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Other than that, I don't know if he did this on purpose. I like the fact that he does have quite a bit of headroom.
Yes,
because there is some sort of motion hinted at, some sort of motion, like he's going up and down, obviously, and so it kind of gives him room to move in the picture.
I have been trying to do this, and again, the 30mm Sigma makes this a lot easier than previously with my 50mm. I was often in too tight, so just there's more wiggle room definitely with this lens.
Yep, and actually this sort of distance with the 30mm is what I really like. Is it sounds funny saying it about a 3-year-old, but Jack looks good. Like he looks the proper proportions.
Yes.
Whereas if sometimes you can get in too close with the 30 and it sort of skews people, like the angle that you're taking the picture at isn't the most flattering.
I agree. And I'm seeing that more and more. I don't shoot very often with this lens right up close because, again, I like it to get more of the background. Yeah. But I agree. If you try to take an up close kind of portrait shot, then it does not look as good as the 50mm. I know we talked about that previously and you said go out and try it and see about comparing the difference. And I prefer the up close features that you'll get off the 50mm compared to the 30mm.
Yep. And when you go even further to 85 and further, those features get even more pronounced. But this looks great. This is like the wheelhouse of what this lens is good for. So I like it. I think it's a candid photo.
All right.
All right. Now,
let's do yours.
Let's have a look at Great Grandma. So
Great Grandma or Great Oma?
Uroma.
Means great?
Yeah. Uroma.
Okay.
So that's Great Grandma. That's Emily and her Great Grandma.
Yeah. And what are they doing exactly?
She is looking at Emily's new teeth.
Really?
She's not afraid to get right in there, to roll up her sleeves.
Yeah, I thought maybe she forgot her nail scissors.
that would work out quite well. Yeah, the teeth are pretty sharp.
Yeah.
No, she's just excited every time she gets to see Emily, and Emily did just get she's got a whole mouthful of teeth now. So.
Oh yeah.
Well, there's some interesting dad stuff. Not a whole mouthful, but she's got a bunch. Enough
she's
to
got
point out.
She's got three.
More than that.
Oh, really?
At least four.
Okay. So, all right.
So there you go. That's Emily, who is less than a year, and Uroma, who will be, I'm going to say, 90 this year.
Wow.
90, maybe 89. Yeah.
Nice.
So that was...
And it looks like it's just window light here?
That's just window light. Yeah.
And how about the metering on the camera for this? Because, you know, again, a tendency to probably be too dark on the subjects and too bright in the background. So is this the evaluative metering, or did you spot meter this?
Are you joking?
No, I'm serious.
I know. We did not talk about this. And just yesterday, I flipped over to spot meter. I don't normally do that, but for the last little while, I've kind of been working on that. And
I agree. I've been trying to do it too, especially in this situation. This is the situation that typically, if you use the evaluative metering, you're going to get too dark on their faces.
Yeah. And it's not even just for that reason. I've decided to start focusing more on placing my exposure where I want it.
Okay.
In terms of, okay, which the skin tone I want this to show up at this point in the exposure, which there's a whole name for that. And it's really confusing. It can be confusing, and I think we'll talk about it eventually. Ansel Adams did the zone system, but that's what I was trying to do. Anyways, I'm just impressed that you nailed that.
Well, I was here's where I was learning about this. I mean, we hadn't talked about this previously, but I was at a magazine stand maybe 2 weeks ago, and there was a dedicated magazine that it was like a $20 magazine. So of course I didn't buy it. I just stood there at the stand and read most of the stuff that was interesting. But it was a dedicated magazine. I guess it's put out yearly. That's kind of a portrait magazine. It's, you know, it wasn't many ads. It looked really good, and it was all about, you know, different techniques for taking portraits. And that was one of the things they talked about, is that, you know, in this very scenario where you got the bright backlight, whether it's the sun, whether it's the window, that the evaluative metering just doesn't do a very good job. And so they were showing different examples, and they said in this situation, this is the perfect situation to switch over to, you know, a spot metering situation and aim it at obviously what you want to be properly exposed. And then again, they also talked about, you know, the back button focus situation here, like as a way to lock your exposure and then recompose. But I started fiddling around with it too, and I found, yeah, it's great for this situation.
Yep. If you forget and leave it on, you can get screwed over. But because there's times when you're shooting outside when you really need you want the evaluative.
Absolutely. But, and that's what I found too, is that I've been flipping back and forth. But when I see this situation, I know I'm going to have a hard time. Either you're going to blow out the background, or you're going to have a problem somewhere in your image. And the spot metering seems to be
right.
A much easier route to go.
And it was very, very dark in the room.
Yeah.
That's kind of it's an old farmhouse that we were at. And so they didn't have any lights on. So it was just sort of towards the end of before the sun went down. This is kind of twilight. It's why I shot at ISO 1600 to get every little bit of light I could get.
Yeah.
And so it looks a lot brighter than it is.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, a little grainy on Emily's face, right? Like that's the only place I really see it, is I see the grain on her cheek and on the side of her forehead.
Yeah. Yeah.
But everywhere else, I mean, it, like on great grandma there, I don't really pick up much at all.
Yeah. So... And that's why I went
like
black
it.
And white.
I like
too.
It. I like the highlights. I like the way the light hits Oma's left side of her hair there. I really like that. And I like the light coming off of her hand there. Like, no, I like it.
Well, that goes back to window light.
Yep.
Yeah. I like to shoot with that whenever I can.
So there you go. We got some helpful hints there from an unexpected source.
Yeah.
And I think the advice that I would give to people is go to the magazine stands and read photography magazines and take – there is lots of great tips hidden in some of those magazines.
Without paying for them, that's what you're saying?
Absolutely. My clinic actually, believe it or not, a physiotherapy clinic, we
– Not a sponsor.
And this had nothing to do with me. We subscribe to a photography – there's actually two different photography magazines. And they're the big ones. I can't think of the exact titles offhand. I'd have to look. But yeah, so I'm always perusing the magazines at work.
It's great. It's a great source for that, I find. For technique, for technology stuff, I find I don't really pay much attention to them.
Yeah.
Because you can find everything online and it's a lot more current.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the lag is a little bit... such that, you know, no one wants to hear about camera reviews, you know, 3 months later. But for these sort of tips, that the beautiful thing about photography is that these tips apply across. These are tips that you would have used with your old film camera, still apply now.
Yes.
So one other way to kind of get around this is to basically keep using evaluative metering, but ride the exposure compensation.
Right.
Or in this case, I shot manual. Like I've been shooting manual roughly 100% of the time lately. For everything.
Okay.
Just much, much, much more prefer it. And so in this case, exposure compensation wouldn't do anything. You have to do that yourself.
Yeah.
But that's essentially one of the ways you can do that, is to just ride that up or down, you know, instead of using spot metering. If that's what you're used to, then fire away.
And I think that's how I used to do it. I just find that this is a quicker way to get there as opposed to more fiddling involved with that.
Exactly. So there you go. That's this week's challenge.
All right. Well, I think we should shut her down there, because so far this has been top shelf.
This might win our Oscar next year.
Yeah. Episode of the year.
Wow. I can't believe it took him 59 warm-ups.
It was between this and the Christmas episode.
Well, that was last year. So we're
okay. It doesn't
count. Totally different set of. So we're good. We're good there. So this week's topic is candids.
Okay.
What a coincidence.
Well, didn't we already nail it? So we're done.
We're done. Let's hit the hay.
Make sure people are not paying attention to the camera. The end.
The end. I think there's more to it than that.
Okay. Well, you let us know.
All right. Why don't you put it on autopilot for a bit, and I'll take her from here.
Yeah, I'm going to go grab a coffee and a donut.
I don't understand how you can have a donut sitting in your house and not eat it.
I did eat it.
I know, but what's the over under on time when you bring Tim Hortons home before it hits your mouth?
Oh yeah. This was like a good 2 hours.
I don't think that's normal.
No. And the only reason, because I bought the donut, and then I was actually going to give it to the kids. But then by the time we did everything and had dinner, I never told them about it. And then I thought, no way, I'm giving them a whole bunch of sugar. I'll never get these kids to bed. So I basically just, you know, by the time I put them to bed and everything, because Lisa was out tonight, so this was a daddy night. Everybody loves to hear the ending to this story. By the time I put to bed, basically 2 hours had lapsed, and therefore the donut had to wait.
I don't think I've ever had a donut sit in my house that long. Ever.
You will. One day you will.
Oh, no, I don't think so. We don't have a Tim Hortons in Tubingen.
Wait till Emily finds out about donuts.
I wonder if... Oh, we have all kinds of other stuff. The German pastries and stuff. But I wonder how Tim Hortons would do here.
When I first moved to Vancouver, there Tim Hortons like wasn't here. Like, I moved in the late 90s and it didn't exist. And coming from Ontario, where it was everywhere, I couldn't understand, is Vancouver too good for donuts? And then Once one showed up, it was just like a complete chain reaction. Do you remember that, or early 2000s when donuts showed up here?
No, we had donuts, but we didn't have Tim Hortons. Tim Hortons was back east, right?
Yeah.
And then they basically sold. They sold to Wendy's.
Yeah, and they just franchised it like crazy out here.
They went crazy. I think we had a couple of Tim Hortons, but nothing. I guess
not anywhere in the Vancouver, like the downtown Vancouver, or out at near UBC. There was nothing.
Right.
The crap that they were serving, like they had maybe one Dunkin' Donuts downtown, but it just died.
Well, yeah, when you're faced with Tim Hortons.
Yeah, how are you going to compete?
No point. Wow. And then we just lost the Oscar.
Donut history right there. Let's call this one donut history.
Yeah.
We were going to talk camera stuff, but then we just started, you know, rehashing old donut memories.
What's better, donuts or coffee with Tim Hortons? Go.
I like both. That's a tough one.
What's
the bigger sell? Really do like their coffee.
Yeah. I would say coffee's better because I drink more coffee than donuts that I eat.
Yeah, that's true.
Despite looking at me. You wouldn't know it to look at me. What's for dinner, Alan? Donuts again? Wow. How about taking the stairs?
Hey, I thought you had stuff to talk about for candids. Come on.
That was pretty candid.
This whole show is getting derailed.
Yeah. I'll edit most of this out. False.
All right.
Okay, so what is a candid photo? We talked about it a little bit, when someone's not looking at the camera, but it's a little bit more than that. For me, it means, like, I struggled with... How do I describe this? Last week, you heard. For me, it's basically it's unrehearsed,
right?
Unposed,
right?
Unplanned.
Okay,
that's all my un words.
Yeah.
So that's what a something that's unexpected, really. I had one more.
Okay. No, I think those are, again, that's how I understand it. I kind of understand it too. And I went as far as to sort of look up what would be the definition just because I was interested in how other people would explain it. Because like I said, you hear that word, you kind of think you know what it means, but then, you know, not sure. And I didn't know how to put it into my own words. So I did look up how other people put it into their own words. And I think a lot of those things you hit on. And then the other one that I saw, and I kind of mentioned this in when I was talking about the photo of Jack, is that it seemed like a part of the definition I kept coming across was capturing sort of people doing what they do.
Right.
So again, I don't know. I guess that means something different to everybody, but let's say you're a Zamboni driver, maybe a candid photo of you driving the Zamboni when you don't know anybody's watching.
Could this show be any more Canadian? Tim Hortons and Zamboni.
that I don't know why I thought of that, but
like,
yeah,
for instance,
trying to make it Canadian.
You know, if you're going to lead the Red River Uprising and you want to get a photo of Louis Riel being candid, you know, like when Sir John A. Macdonald was founding the country.
Yeah. Well, do you know that 2 years ago, just to hit on some more Canadian history, I think it was 2 years ago today that Sidney Crosby scored the golden goal that won Canada the gold medal at the 2010 Olympics. So part of that, you know, I'm feeling the love for Canada right now.
Fair enough. Although I got confused for a sec because today's actually Feb 29 over here.
Okay, you're a little ahead.
And I was like, wait a second, 2 years ago, this didn't exist.
Yeah.
Now I got it. So that's also a great point about candidates before we got derailed yet again, is to me, it's like the truth. It just tells the truth about what really goes on. And that's kind of
behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's kind of my style for everything. Like for like when I shoot documentary stuff, like for instance, when we watched, if you watched me do the 5 minute documentary about Chris Marquardt making his podcast.
I watched it.
I absolutely had no interaction with him while he was doing that because I wanted it to be extremely candid.
Right.
And just do, I said, just do whatever it is that you normally do, except wear pants.
Yeah.
Do whatever you normally do and ignore me. And after a little while, he really did ignore me and just went about his business.
Okay, yeah.
And so to me, that's very interesting to see, you know, what really goes on when people aren't aware. So what is it specifically that makes a good candid photo? There's a lot of answers to that. For me, I like an offbeat moment, something that you don't normally expect in a photo, maybe a surprised look on someone's face, like a funny expression.
Right.
I wasn't able to get that last night. It's very difficult to do. Like, in all fairness, the photo challenge for candidates should have been a year-long challenge.
Right.
Because it can take a long time to get that right moment. I think it should tell a story, which I think both of our pictures kind of do.
Yeah.
Yours, I think, tells probably more of a story, or maybe it's more clear what's going on.
Yeah, I think, yeah. And it's, a more obvious photo, right? Mm-hmm. Kid at park having fun.
Yes.
The end. 2 minutes later, he fell off the teeter-totter, and we had to get a miniature cast put on his arm.
No.
That would have been a picture that I would have included if that was the story.
Yeah. I hope, I'm glad that's not true.
No. Their bones are pretty rubbery at that age.
Okay, good to know.
He bounced back. No, he didn't fall off.
So anyway, so it tells a story. Again, unexpected. I think we said unexpected. To the subject, but just to the viewer as well. When you're looking at that, like that's not something that you're a normal picture.
Yeah.
You know, something very atypical or something very typical to show what someone does. You know, some of the their actual moment. So I wrote down a German word that you'll like that kind of describes that they use to describe that idea.
Okay, well, let's have it.
Der Augenblick.
Oh, great.
I should take,
thank you.
I should take a swig of water first before I try that again.
Yeah. Say it again.
Der Augenblick. Der Augenblick, what it means is that the literal translation is the blink of an eye. But what they mean is that is the moment. It refers to the moment.
Isn't that all photography?
It does. I mean, yes. But if you're taking like a posed photo and someone's just holding that smile, you know, to me that's not really...
Yeah, it's a fake. It's a fake moment.
Yeah. So, you, like, for instance here, like, Oma wasn't rooting around Emily's mouth for, like, half an hour. It was actually a split second.
Right.
And Oma's not a dentist either. I would have thought she was a dentist.
I hope she Purelled her hands before she went rooting around in there.
I hope she didn't.
Really?
I'd rather have a little bit of bacteria than Purell in her mouth.
Well, not directly. Okay, you know, you got the 30-second waiting period, so she didn't have to douse them and just jam them into her mouth.
Okay, well, I'll have a talk with her then. No, I won't.
Well, okay, so here's an, like, to me, wouldn't the epitome of candid photography be like just a wedding? Like, obviously at weddings you're going to have posed pictures too, but the majority of that is going to be candids, right? You know, the bride walking down the aisle. I mean, the interactions between the groomsmen and the bridesmaids, you know, both at the reception and the actual ceremony. Isn't that just a huge string of candids?
No.
No.
Just kidding, it is.
Yeah.
I just thought you'd go into that big explanation and then me to shoot it down.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That to me is a great example of where candids happen. Even though, you know, I guess the bride tends to be aware that there's a camera there, but that can fade away.
Yeah.
Especially if the photographer's doing a good job and blending into the background. Then, yes, right. You can get a lot of great candids. Well, we did that at your wedding many years ago. We shot – there was a lot of pose, and there was quite a few candids as well. And those are my favorite ones of the images too.
I agree. Like, I agree wholeheartedly.
You want the pose ones to just kind of, you know, sort of document the day. It's like, all right, let's get these ones out of the way. And then it's the kind of funny moments that happen. And one of my favorite candid pictures, which – that I've taken may still be up on my website, I don't remember, was at a wedding. And it was just at a city hall wedding here in town. It wasn't even the big fancy ceremony wedding. When I forget what happened, that she put the ring on when she wasn't supposed to, and it was exactly what I was talking about. Der Augenblick was that weird moment of surprise. So if I can't find it on my website, I will post it this week.
So okay, so now we're talking about what makes, you know, a candid photo. How do you go about making one? You just basically wave your camera around and hope for the best? Or you have any tips as far as, you know, a good place to start?
Well, here's where it gets tricky, is because I like to use the shorter lenses for candids. I like to get in there with a 50 millimeter on a full frame or the 30 millimeter on a crop sensor.
Okay.
Because it allows you to kind of get in close. And I hate to use the word be intimate, but that's kind of what ends up happening. You sort of become connected with the subject, hopefully, but still remaining in the shadows.
Okay, those seem to be, like you say, opposites.
Contradictory. But
yeah, contradictory.
So what that requires is a lot of patience. That's why it is very tricky to do. You have to kind of establish a relationship with the subject, and then slowly they will forget the camera's there. Now, you can use a... go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, you can use a long lens. You can use like a 200 millimeter lens and just stand in the back and just pick shots off. But those tend to be more kind of voyeuristic. And it's, you can actually tell the difference. Some of them are nice pictures. I'm not saying that they're wrong. But for certain kinds of photography, getting in close helps to tell the truth.
And see, I mean, I haven't obviously done very much of this side of photography, but isn't it difficult when you're dealing with a group of strangers that obviously don't know you for you to get in real close and have them just still go about their business?
That's very difficult.
Because I would think instantly they'd want to be, okay, here's a camera guy taking my picture. I might as well look over at him and smile.
That's the instinct. And for the first, I don't know, hour of a photo session, that's what's going to happen.
Right.
Is people are going to be aware of it. People are going to, you know, and because everybody has a camera, everyone has a camera in their cell phone and everything seems to be recorded, it's you have an uphill battle because everybody knows what you're doing.
Right.
Now, part of me is I like to think that hopefully I blend into the background over time. Because everybody has a camera, you know, I'm sort of lost in that crowd.
Do you give them any instructions like, hey, just don't mind me. I'm going to take pictures. I prefer you not to look at me or smile.
I usually wear a T-shirt that says, what the F are you looking at?
Yeah. Especially at a wedding.
Especially, oh, absolutely. I censor it for the podcast, but for in real life, no, uncensored.
Right.
Yeah. I tend to, if it's really, you know, overt that people are just looking at me the whole time, then I try to tell them, hey, you know, go about your business. Or I will snap, you know, the standard posed picture. Like they'll look over at me and smile. They'll want, oh, can you get a picture of me and, you know, Aunt Dorothy, then right. Yeah, I will usually oblige them and then kind of move on and wait until I can take their picture when they're not looking.
And what about, I mean, maybe you're going to get to this, but what about, do you have preferences as far as, you know, depth of field when it comes to candids? Do you have a certain sort of go-to settings? Like you're shooting on F4 with your 70-200 most of the time, or what's your go-to?
Well, the best tip I can give you is be ready. Like know your, this is why you want to know your camera very well, because oftentimes that moment comes and goes and you miss it. So you want to be prepared. So you want to know your settings ahead of time. You want to have an idea of your depth of field before you start shooting. You don't want to be dialing that down when almost, you know, gets your finger out. you don't want to be thinking, oh man, what should I be shooting this at? I was ready. Now, in this case, I think I was at a F2 because it was so dark inside. But
right.
But normally, like you just said, I start at F4. I like F4 on the 30mm lens. It's just, it looks great. It's sharp. The background's out of focus enough for, you know, to get a good depth of field.
Right.
That's my favorite. So I start there, but I know ahead of time if I want, okay, maybe I want this one to be blown right out. So I'll shoot at F2.
Now, are you shooting like in a burst? Are you shooting one shot? Like what are you doing here? Like you firing off 50 shots and to capture that moment?
In this case, I shot regular single shot mode.
Right.
I did shoot 3 or 4 pictures to get the exact facial expressions that I wanted.
Yeah.
Which is nice. That's the nice thing about shooting digital is you can do that. In the old days, you had to, you know, wind the camera manually. That was a problem. So yeah, I also shoot manual. That's my other advice is get used to shooting in manual mode because it just makes your life a whole lot easier because now all you have to worry about shutter speed. That's my method of shooting manual. I set everything else and then just dial in the shutter speed properly. I try to pre-focus if I can, which is be ready for that distance. Like in this case, it was much easier because, you know, Ohm is not ripping around the room.
Right. And neither is your daughter.
Exactly. Well, she's getting there.
No, she's not. I saw the video. She's not.
She's busy reading and doing math.
She's behind on her milestones. I can tell.
No, I don't. Are there milestones?
Yes.
Oh, we don't read those. No, I'm not joking. I have no idea what they are.
We'll talk later.
When should she be standing up? How many months?
She should have already been doing that.
On her own?
No, I'm just kidding. Not to worry. She's fine.
Okay. Because she does stand, but...
Take her to a doctor.
She's
fast.
Whew. All right. yeah, because they're not moving around very much, I like to pre-focus and basically have my camera set on... Well, the focus is on Oma. And that way, as soon as something happens, you're ready to go. So I have my camera dialed in, shutter speed, everything. And as soon as something happens, it's just trip the shutter. So I'm trying to anticipate. I'm trying to anticipate an action, or in this case, like maybe a reaction sometimes.
Yeah.
So if you can kind of watch to judge the situation and see that coming, you're going to get a lot better candid photos.
Okay. Anything else? Any other great tidbits you can throw at us here?
I got nothing. That's it. That's go out and shoot candid photos.
Excellent. Okay. Well, we don't have to make this episode 3 hours long.
What are we at now?
I don't know.
Oh, no, we got plenty. Let's just vamp for...
Let's talk about donuts again.
Let's talk about something else Canadian.
Let's talk about maple leaves and maple syrup.
I was going to say maple syrup.
Yeah.
I don't eat maple syrup that often.
I do, and it's delicious. Do you have a challenge for us?
I do. Next week's challenge. This one's it's a two-photo challenge.
Two-photo.
You're going to go out and you're going to take a nice photograph using some of the skills that you have developed over the last 60 shows.
Okay.
Okay? Maybe.
Is this like a bringing it together challenge?
We're not bringing anything together. It's something I threw together at the last second.
Perfect.
No, that's not true. That's actually a joke.
Okay.
I did something the other day, and I haven't posted it yet because I've been messing around with work.
Right.
That's why they call it work. But I took a picture on my regular manual exposure, and I was interested to know what my camera would do if it was up to my camera.
Okay.
And I flipped it over to the green pumpkin setting and let it fire away. Pretty much the exact same photo. And then I compared the two.
I'm guessing the manual was better.
Yes, I think so. It was just a much, more interesting picture.
Right.
And so that's what the challenge is this week, is you're going to go out and shoot a photo that, anything you want.
Right.
And then you're going to let the camera do the same photo.
Now, if the auto does a way better job, I'm probably going to delete it and try again.
Well, no rigging it. I mean, we'll talk about the situation that the auto does a better job.
Okay.
Because there are certain situations where the auto works great. Like, you can't do better than the auto setting.
Right.
For certain situations outside, for instance, it's going to be tough to do better. You'll do the same, except those situations are very few and far between.
Okay.
So this is designed to basically inspire other people to get off the auto settings, which is kind of the purpose of the whole show.
So you're bringing it all together.
Like you said earlier, yes, bringing it all together.
Great. Okay, well, I'm going to try this.
That's it. All right. So until next week, where can people find your stuff?
As always, schwartzchronicles.com.
Is there a new one today?
My wife has been extraordinarily busy herself, so she really hasn't been blogging her usual pace. So I think there is one coming because I do have a backlog of pictures for her.
Mm-hmm.
So soon, I'm gonna get on her right now and say you got to do a blog,
even if it's just for me, because I haven't seen your kids in a while.
Yeah,
and I miss your kids, of course, and I like reading I read the blog for the pictures and all that to see what your kids are doing.
Right. No, I will see if I can get her up to one in the very near future.
Where did you land on you starting your own photo blog?
Yeah, pretty much the same place that I was when I said that.
Donuts.
I'm going to start a donut blog.
Yeah. Okay, well, make that happen.
What about your stuff? Where can we find your stuff?
As always, my main site's up at alanetridge.com. The two of us are at twohosers.com. Two Hosers on Twitter and Two Hosers. You can find, you Google Two Hosers. I'm pretty sure that's us that comes up.
It is.
So
Yeah. Check
it all out. Check it out and get some. Tell your friends to listen on iTunes, I think.
Okay.
Specifically, because that's how I know that's what I know about the ranking system is iTunes. I don't know where else you would get it that the rankings would happen. That got into a big garbled mess. Tell your friends to listen to the show however you want.
I forgot what you were talking about.
Just tell your friends, listen however they want.
Okay.
Don't boss them. Why would you boss your friends? That's crazy. Yeah,
tell them not to listen, and if they're anything like my friends, then they'll listen.
Out of spite. I'll take that. I'll take a spite listen.
Yeah, me too.
All right, that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.